those of you who are here for the first time, my name is not that important. You don't have to remember my name, because Jesus Christ is the hero in this conference. He's the hero in this sermon. He's the answer to every question you have. He's the hope to everyone. We all want to have a good relationship. How many of you have a boyfriends and girlfriends? Raise your hand. Nobody? Oh, you too. Okay. You don't have a boyfriend and girlfriend? Is your parents make you not to have boyfriends and girlfriends? They make you go to Harvard University? Or what's the best school here in Singapore? What's the best school? What's the best college here in the Singapore? Amen, amen. I know, like Korean people, they go to school like 6 a.m. and they come home 12 o'clock. Well, school finishes around 4, but they go to a private institution and they study until 11. There's a bus waiting outside of institution and they come home 12, and that's when they study. That's when they do homework. So we have a Seoul University. If you study until 3 a.m., you don't go to Seoul University. But if you study until 4 a.m., you actually can go to Seoul University. It's very competitive. And parents are like pushing, you know. They like, you know, don't go to church. You know, I know you believe in, I mean, God, but, you know, school is more important than God, you know. You can always go back to church when you get into good college, you know. And the children's like, okay, you know, like that. But it's not true. It's not true. But how many of you have a Facebook? Anybody, you have Facebook? How many of you have a member of social networking site other than Facebook? You know, we used to have in the States, MySpace and Zynga. Those are many years ago. Now, Facebook. Korea, we have a Cyword. Everyone had a Cyword. But now people are turning to Facebook. I think we have we have a heart that desires that desires good relationship. I remember a boy. There was a boy in the States. He's from Milwaukee in Wisconsin. He had a cancer. He got a cancer, and he went through a chemotherapy. You know how if you have a chemotherapy, you lose your hair? And then he stayed in hospital. He got better. And then the hospital told him, you can discharge. But he said, I don't want to go home. I don't want to, show my friend that, with bald head, no hair. The parents said, let's go home, it's okay. You know, they would understand. And the son said, no, mom, I don't want to go home. You know, it's so embarrassing with no hair. But he went home anyway. And as parents drove him at their house, and when he opened the door, there was a moment of surprise, because the boy's friend just jumped up and said, surprise, welcome back. And all his friends shaved their heads. No hair. And that's a relationship that we're looking for. We want to have a good relationship. There are so many relationships you can have. The best relationship you can have is relationship with Jesus Christ. Because this conference is all about, it's not about me. It's not about where I'm from. It's not about all the jokes that I tell you. I mean, even though I have many jokes. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, this is it. This is it. You know, I try to ignore God's calling many times, but, you know, it was like this. It was like this. Okay. I said, you know what? I don't need you. I don't need you. But he was holding my hand like this. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to quit on you. You know, I'm not going to give up. He kept coming and coming and coming. And finally, I said, you know what? I know I need you. I'm lost without you. I'm hopeless without you. And that's how I got back to Jesus Christ. So today, we're going to have an awesome conference where people, I hope that people get saved. There are many Christians here. I hope that you recommit your life. This morning I'm going to talk about how you need to be available. God is not looking for abilities. God is looking for availability. God is not looking for brightest. God is not looking for someone from Harvard University. God is looking for someone like you. And then I'm going to talk about how you need to, when you give something to God, and God is going to create a miracle. In the afternoon, maybe after this session, I'm going to talk about fear. How we have a fear, when I wear this, what is she going to think about me? What is he going to think about me instead of what God's going to think about me? You know? So we're going to talk about that. And then the last sermon today, I'm going to talk about surrender. I'm going to talk about how we need to surrender, how we need to wave the flag of white, surrender. And that's when God works. So that's what we're going to do. Now, before we start, we're going to do prayer. But I want to share with you two stories about prayer, okay? Number one, there was a church in Tennessee, in the States. They had a new building, but they could not move into a new building because they don't have enough parking space. In the state, they have a regulation that you have to have enough parking space to use the facility. Even though that church had a new church building, but they could not move into that church. So pastor said, let's pray. Crazy. You know why? There was a mountain, little mountain behind the church. They could not have additional parking space. It's impossible. Impossible situation. And pastor said, let's pray that God move this mountain. Everyone thought, you know what? He's into something, you know? He's into drugs or he's into something, you know? Yeah, because you cannot simply move the mountain. What pastor said, every night at 7 o'clock, I'm going to pray. He kept praying. Some people said, no hope in this church. No hope. But several people stayed. There got to be something. You know? I know him. He's not crazy. I know he's crazy about God. But there got to be something. Why don't I join, you know, our pastor in prayer? So people would come and they've been praying and praying. But there was no answer. You know, it seems like it's impossible. People were getting tired and they were about to leave the church and they were about to go to different churches. But one day, there was a knock at pastor's office. And pastor opened the door, yes. And there were two men with the helmets. Pastor was kind of scared. What can I do for you? And they said, sir, we are building a mall in this town, but I heard about what's going on at your church. Let's make a deal. We need a lot of dirt. If you let me use the dirt behind your church, the mountain, we'll build you extra parking space for free. Pastor said, done deal. Done deal. The power of prayers. The power of prayers. Another one is a missionary who went to Africa. As he was walking home, he was surrounded by several people. And he was in life and death situation. But he prayed, Lord, save me. And all of a sudden, those men who were surrounding him and left. But you know, what he saw was, he saw like 80 angels watching him. So later on, he went back to the States and he shared the story. Said, you know what? I was in this situation and I saw 18 angels, you know, protecting me. And that church said, well, when was that? He said, this was what day and what month? They said, you know what? We were praying for you at that time and there were 18 of us. So don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Now, this is what we're going to pray. Number one, let's pray that God would touch your heart. You know, there's a tug of war. Maybe God has been talking to you. Maybe God has been saying something and you've been like, ignoring. Let's pray that God would open your heart and you respond to his call. Number two, let's pray for those people who are not saved. Let's pray. Maybe it's your friend that's not saved. Let's pray, Lord, I have a friend who is not saved. Would you touch that person? Would you, you know, save his life? All right? And then number three, pray for me. Without your prayer, I can't go on. I'm tired. You know, I'm 43, even though I look like 23. I'm suffering from jet lag. You know, I miss my wife, you know. Yesterday I said that my wife doesn't have a birthday because she fell from heaven. It's an excuse that I don't have to buy her birthday gift because she doesn't have a birthday, you know. I miss her so much, you know. But pray for me. Pray that that God would use me this morning and today. I'm not here to share with you that the things that you want to hear, but I'm going to share with you the things that you need to hear. Okay? I'm not, you know, here to entertain a lot, even though I do a lot of jokes, but there is a message to that. Okay? So let's pray. First of all, let's pray. Pray for your, you know, pray that, Lord, help me to understand, help me to respond your word today. And number two, I pray for those people who are not saved in this place. Would you save them? And number three, Lord, just have a mercy on Pastor Paul. He's scared. He's not ready. But Lord, strengthen him today. Give him wisdom that he needs. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are very thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Father, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, everyone has sinned, including all of us, and comes short of glory of God. But Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our own penalties. Father, we understand that your forgiveness is final. It's free. It's forever. We also understand the love of Jesus Christ. Your love is undying and unlimited, unconditional, unending. And Father, thanks so much for the fact that we are surrounded by that love this morning. Father, we know that we're not here by accident. We're not here because somebody else forced us to come here, but we are here because you brought us here for a reason and purpose, Father. So, Father, this morning may your word be done, Father. And may you touch each of our hearts and lives, Father. Father, even though we claim that we are Christian, we struggle, we stumble. Father, help us to make a right commitment. And help us rededicate our lives to you, Father. If there's anyone who is not saved, Father, we pray for the saving grace in this place, Father. May that person see you, and may that person understand that without Jesus Christ, there's no eternal life. And Father, please save those people. And Father, I pray that you use me this morning as your instrument and tool. The things that comes out of my mouth would honor you. And Father, I pray that as we continue this conference, Father, we know that you will do mighty work. So Father, we are celebrating. We are very delighted and grateful that you allow us to have this conference. As we start the first message, Father, may your truth just challenge us, and may your truth stir our hearts so that we will turn to you and we will give our lives to you. Thank you so much for Heritage Church and all the churches that are here, Father. Even though we are from different churches, we know that you love us. We know that we are one in you. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to have some recap. All right. This is from yesterday. Yesterday we said we had a choice. You know, it's like this. Your life, a lot of you, you exist. You don't live. You just exist. You wake up, you go to school, you come home, you sleep, you play games, you talk to your friend, you watch TV, on internet, you go to bed, next day you go to school. Basically, that's what you've been doing. There's no life. Now, you have a choice, and that choice is this. You can live like you've been living, ordinary life. This is like, you know, you get up, you go to bathroom, you go to school, you study, and same thing over and over again. There's no excitement. There's no exciting thing about your life. It's like, you know, you're repeating the same thing and same thing and same thing, and you got no choice. That's what you've been trained to do. But would you like to have the special life that, you know, it's a joyful, not because you get A's? I remember when I went to the Philippines, the first report card, I got an F. F, 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 A. Math. Asians, we're good at math. Are you? By the way, when I went to school, we had many textbooks, and one textbook made me cry all the time. History, science, and this book. You know which one? Math book, because it's got a lot of problems. So many problems. I could not handle those problems. We talked about some action steps yesterday. What can we do? We started about God the Creator. Well, basically, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 said, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. And yesterday I said, a lot of you are like, okay, Genesis chapter 1 and 1. Because we are like numb. We're not like, yeah? Wow! We're not like that, you know? We're like, okay. And yesterday, remember, I showed you some picture of planets. So let's... And yesterday I said, this is just one of the galaxies in the universe. There are 100 billion galaxies like this. Okay, think of this. Okay, this is one galaxy. There are 100 billion galaxies. And the length of it, okay, the distance is 946, a big number, okay? Okay. Million, is it million right here? Million, trillion, quadrillion. Okay. whatever that is, okay, whatever that number is, yesterday we said, okay, that's the distance. You see, I'm talking about the designer. I'm talking about who made you, okay? I said yesterday, I'm the most handsome guy in this world, okay? I'm the most handsome. That's why I walk confidently, because it's not about who I am, it's about who made me. Yesterday we talked about, would you buy Samsung Galaxy? Would you buy Namsung Galaxy? You know, which one? You said, we want to buy Samsung because you know a company. You know, Namsung, what's that? You know, I don't know that company. You know Samsung. That's why you want to buy. Yesterday we talked about sun, how big the sun is. And you know what? The number 1 million, that's the number of Earth that can fit in this. I said 1 million Earth can fit into this. Same as yesterday. You're like, I don't care. Who said, wow, bless your heart, bless your heart, yeah. Yeah, a lot of times, because we've never been to universe, like 1 million Earth inside, who cares, you know. I just need to get an A next test, you know. I just need to get a boyfriend and girlfriend. You need to get a life, guys. You don't have a life. Yeah, I'm talking about big number, okay. Let's talk about Betelgeuse. This is the Betelgeuse. Guess what? How many? 1 billion? 1 billion Earth? No way. 1 billion Sun can fit into this planet. What? And he's about to... he's stopped. All right, that's 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
Okay. Mississippi. This is a Mississippi. How many Earth can fit into this Mississippi planet? Right here. How many? 2.7 trillion. Earth can fit into that planet. I'm talking about big number. I'm talking about God that beyond our imagination. This is beyond our... That's not it. Canis Majoris, I talked about. 7 quadrillion Earth can fit into this planet. Okay? Now, these are something that the scientists could find out. There are more. They don't know. Okay? I am talking about amazing God who made the universe. Yesterday, I said this. You know what? Somebody made this ring. Somebody made this cloth. Somebody made this remote control. When there's something, there's got to be a designer. When you have a house, there's got to be somebody who built it. There's got to be a blueprint. Meaning, when there's a universe, somebody said Big Bang Theory? Big Bang Theory? Now, each cell, we have a cell that has a DNA. Each cell has a DNA of 2 meters. Now, you know, if you combine all the DNA in our body, you can have 160,000 round trip from here to the moon. That long, because we have trillions of cells. Each cell has a 2 meter. And you say that's an accident? That's a coincidence? No way. There's no way that your body is coincidence. There got to be a designer who made that. And finally, yesterday I said this.
if Earth is size of a golf ball, the Canis Majoris, the size of the Canis Majoris is the size of Everest Mountain. Earth is this much, and this is the size of Canis Majoris. You are believing mighty God. You are not believing in vending machine. You know what vending machine is? Sometimes we treat God as a vending machine. You put a prayer called prayer. I need a boyfriend. Come on. Hello? Hey! You put a coin and say, I want to get A on this test. That's what I used to do when I went to school in Korea. No study, but pray. And then I get F. And my mom's mad at me. Are you studying? I said, I'm praying. No, son! You need to study and pray. Okay. I didn't know. I thought God just gives me answers, you know, when I pray. You cannot ever understand God. If you understand God, then God is not God. If you understand God, you are not. He is not God. There's no way we can understand God 100%. It's like an ant trying to understand the elephant. Ant will never understand the size of the elephant. We're like that. We are worshiping God who made the universe. We are worshiping God who made Canis Majoris. You know Psalm 33:6 said? Psalm 33:6 said this. God made all this by this. Look at me. That's how God made in Psalm 33:6. You know what the Bible says also? He knows the name of each star. There are 200 billion stars in Milky Way, and there's a 50 billion planets in just one galaxy. And God said, God knows the name of each star. And you know what I said yesterday? That God who created the universe is turning to you. What's your name?
Jasmine?
Jasmine, good name. I want to say something, but I don't want to offend her. You know, I thought about Jasmine like perfume or Jasmine tea or you know, yeah. Jasmine is a beautiful lady, future Miss Singapore. She's like whatever. I don't lie. Well, she's like this. Jasmine is like this. Okay, I believe that he's a big God. But I don't know if he likes me. I don't know if he mind my business. I don't know if he care about me. Yesterday I said, he cares about you. He's your maker. He forms you. He knows how many hairs you have. He knows all the things. He knows all the tears you shed. He knows everything about you. I remember a car. There was a car stopped in the highway in the States, and the driver was a mechanic. Even though the driver was a mechanic, he could not fix it. Man, I'm a mechanic. I can't even fix this car. And there was a car passing by, and he stopped. There was an older gentleman got out of the car. He said, "Hey, young man, can I take a look at it?" And mechanic said, "I'm a mechanic. What do you think you are?" And the older man said, "Yeah, I just want to take a look at it." So he took a look at it and he tried something, and then he told mechanic, "Try it on, start the engine." Mechanic, man, that old man. Boom! You know who that older man was? Mr. Ford, who made a car. Because he made a car, he knows. Because God made you, he knows exactly what's going on in your life. You know, we are tempted to think that God loves so many people that he doesn't care about me. No, it's not like that. If God can love only one person, he's not God. If God can love just me, he's not God. But he loves you individually. Jasmine, stand up here. I need you. I need your help. Okay? Here. Just stand up here. Okay? All right. Let's pretend that Jasmine is only person. You all die. Okay, no human being. Jasmine is the only person on this earth. How many people on this earth?
One.
And what's her name?
Jasmine.
Everyone knows Jasmine, right? Now,
And God is looking at Jasmine, and I said, oh, I love Jasmine. I don't know if I want to send my son to sacrifice Jasmine. He's not like that. You know what he said? Son, go. Die for Jasmine. If there is only one person on this earth, I believe that God will still send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for Jasmine. That's how much he loved Jasmine. Thank you. That's how much he loved you. Sacrificing for somebody's life, it's impossible. It's impossible. But Jesus Christ sacrificed his life, not for the things that he had done, but for the things you have done. And then yesterday, we talked about sin. Sin is like chocolate. You like chocolate? This is so good. And you keep eating. It's like, it's good. And sometimes sin doesn't want big things. Sin wants smaller thing. Sin wants compromise, smaller. Hey, I don't want big thing from you. Just this part. But we talked about, we are sinner because of Adam's sin. And the Bible says, everyone has sinned. And that's what we talked about yesterday. So we are hopeless because we cannot take care of our sin. We have sinned. And then yesterday, we talked about, okay, here is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for us. He died for our sins, Romans 5:8. And then yesterday, we didn't look at this. We looked at the verse saying, all you have to do is confess Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, and then you will be saved. Salvation is free. So here is a question, okay? What's your name again?
Joel.
Are you a good swimmer?
No.
Okay. Okay. Whatever. Okay. You're not. Pretend that you are in the water, okay? In the middle of the sea. Okay. Now, I'm a good swimmer. Okay. I'm an Olympic. Michael Phelps. Okay. Call me Michael Kim. And he's not a swimmer. I'm a swimmer. Okay. So, we're in the middle of the sea. Okay. So, pretend that you are just drowning. Pretend you're drowning. Come on. Take some pictures, okay? We put on Facebook. Weird guy showed up in conference. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. No, you. No. Pretend that you are drowning in the water. You have a fear of water. Okay, you are in the water, in the middle of the sea. Okay, now I'm a good. Okay. Anyway, okay. Now, hear me. Who will be survived? Who will be survived? No. Michael Kim, no. No. Both of us will die. You know why? Even though I'm a good swimmer, there's no way I can survive in the middle of the sea. And then there's a helicopter. Sam brings helicopter. Sam's a pilot. And then he drops down the rope. Who will be saved? The person who gets the rope. Right? The person who gets the rope will be saved. You see, salvation is this. All you have to do is just get that rope saying, you know what? I'm going to die. I'm dying right now. There's no way I can survive. And you know what? When you get the hope, when you get the rope, that's when you get saved. It's simple. All you have to do is just, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I'm, my life has been miserable without you. There's no hope. You know, so many people cannot answer this question. Where are you from? Where you're going? They're like, I don't know where I'm from. I don't know where I'm going. They cannot answer that basic questions. So salvation is by grace. By grace. By grace means this. By grace means you don't deserve. You don't deserve. Anyways. My cell phone here. He needs cell phone, but he doesn't deserve it. I don't know him, but I give him anyway. He doesn't deserve it. He hates me, you know. He thinks he said bad thing about me, and he turned back his back on me. But I say, you know, I still love you. I want to give this cell phone because you need it. Yeah. Well, grace. Grace is you receive something even though you don't deserve to get it. So yesterday I challenged everyone to receive Jesus Christ because that's the best decision you will ever make in your life. Well, I've been married for many years. I made some good decisions in my life, but the best decision in my life was when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was in third year elementary school. I used to think that I go to heaven because my father is a pastor. I used to think that, you know, because he's a good Christian, I'll go to heaven automatically, but I was wrong. At third year of elementary, third grade, my Sunday school teacher said, "Are you saved?" I said, What do you mean I'm saved? My father is pastor, don't you know? He's a good Christian, don't you know? He said, No, I'm not talking about your dad. I'm talking about you, Paul. I said, me? I don't know. He said, you need to get saved. I said, why? Because he said, if you're not saved, you will not go to heaven. I said, I want to go to heaven. As a young age, you know, I was afraid to go to hell, you know. I want to go to heaven. She said, I can share with you. I said, yeah, please. And that day, that was so many years ago, I still remember, you know, she talking about John 3:16, and I still remember John 1:12. I still remember the tears that came out of my eyes, you know, joyful tears saying, you know what? I never knew this. Now I'm a child of God. Now I have a ticket to heaven. And that still stays. And every day I'm reminded of that salvation in my life. And yesterday, Pastor Edwin, how many people? Three people? Three people said, you know what? I need Jesus Christ in my life and I want to accept. Before I move, you know what? I haven't even started second sermon yet today, right? This is just all introduction. So you know you're going to have a long day today. But I promise, my second sermon, if I don't finish by 12 o'clock, I'll take all of you to KFC. My second sermon, if I don't finish by 12 o'clock, I promise I'll take all of you to KFC. Now, if I finish before 12 o'clock, you take me to KFC. I said, we need Jesus Christ. There may be some people here. There may be someone saying, Pastor, I have never received Jesus Christ in my heart as my Savior and Lord. But I need Jesus Christ. You know, it looks like every one of you look like a saved. It looks like he's a good Christian. He looks like he's a really crazy about God, you know, God, you know. But maybe inside he has an empty heart. Maybe he's like this. Maybe his life is like this. He is going nowhere. He's like this. He's just standing in front of a wall. No hope, nothing. There's no intimacy with Christ. You come to church, you know, you do all the church stuff. You do all the Christian stuff. But in your heart, there's no intimacy. There's no relationship. And this morning, before even I start second sermon, I encourage you to make today as your spiritual birthday by receiving Jesus Christ. And that will be the best decision you will ever make. It's better than going to Harvard. It's better than marrying that person. It's the best decision. You know what? From my experience, that changed my life. This conference is not about entertaining you. This conference is not giving you chicken rice. This conference is all about transforming your life 100%. This conference is changing your life so that when you are changed, your friends will change. When you are changed, your family will change. When you are changed, your community will change. When you are changed, your school will change. When you are changed, Singapore will change. When you are changed, the whole country will be changed because of one person. The forest starts from one tree. 1,000-mile trips start from one step. And the revival can start from one person. When God ignites you, you know what? That's starting a revival. And this morning, I encourage you, I challenge you, if you haven't never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the time that you need to make a decision saying, I need Jesus Christ. I need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ. There are so many religions that said, you got to do this, you got to do good things, you got to clean the park, you got to do that. Yesterday I said this, Jesus Christ said, you don't have to do anything. Done deal. Everything is done on the cross. What you need is not another religion. Christianity Well, I don't want to say Christianity. Christianity is like a religion. What we need is a Christ. What we need is Jesus Christ in our lives. Because we have this heart that we have a thirst. We have a hunger and thirst. Only Jesus Christ can, you know, cover that. Only we have a empty tank. You cannot fill the tank. Only Jesus Christ can fill the tank. And if that tank is empty, your life is going nowhere. Whether you have a good job, whether you have a good family, whether you have a lot of money, it doesn't matter. Do you think Bill Gates is happy? Do you think those people who have a lotto, do you think they are so happy? You know what? There are so many people, millionaires and billionaires. You know what? They live a miserable life. I know in Korea, they fight. Brothers fight over the money. Their children fight with a father because of money. And just because you have money doesn't mean that you have a happy life. The only way you can have a true happy life is when you have Jesus Christ in your life. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I'm here to tell you that there's only one way. There's no two-way. There's no three-way. There's many ways to go to the United States. You can go to Seoul. You can go to Japan. You can go to Hawaii. But there, in Jesus, to God, there's only one way. That's what John 14:6. Only through Jesus Christ, you can go to God. Without God, without Jesus Christ, there's no way. So I want to start second sermon. I need to have somebody who can make a chicken sound. Any volunteers? Come on. Anybody? Oh, come on. Let's respond. Anybody? You want to try? Try. Okay. So, here. Just try. Chicken.
Biak, biak, biak.
Okay. Contest number one. Name is Matthew. Biak, biak, biak. That's number one. Okay. All right. Let's contest number two. Contest number two. Anybody? Yeah? Vicky? Who's Vicky? Oh, Ricky. Ricky, go ahead. He needs our prayers. Okay, number three, anybody? Ladies, come on, ladies. Huh? Any ladies? Anybody? Yeah. Who? Her? You want to try? Go ahead. Go ahead. Who wants to try? Okay, I'll try. That's a Korean chicken. Anybody else? No? Oh, yeah, try again. Try. Which one are you? Are you a chicken or are you an eagle? Because just because you're here, you are not going to be the same. You're not chicken anymore. I want to tell you a story that I shared with the pastor, Pastor Crocker and Pastor Edwin. You know what? Who is the famous movie director in Hollywood? Mr. Who? Mr. Paul? You say Mr. Paul. Bless your heart. Thank you. Did you say Mr. Paul or Mr. Spielberg?
Paul.
Paul! Where's my chocolate? There you go. Mr. Spielberg was eating a Chinese restaurant in LA, and this Chinese walked up to the restaurant and he said, that's Mr. Spielberg eating in Chinese restaurant in LA, and he said, I need to get an autograph. And he went to him, sir, I'm your big fan. I can't believe I'm seeing you. Can I get your autograph? And Mr. Spielberg all of a sudden slapped the face of Chinese. And the Chinese said, why did you do that? And Mr. Spielberg said, you guys attack Pearl Harbor. You are our enemy. And Chinese said, sir, it was not. It was Japanese that attacked Pearl Harbor. I'm Chinese. Mr. Spielberg said, Chinese? Japanese, Chinese, you guys are the same. He got so mad, he slapped the face of Mr. Spielberg. Mr. Spielberg said, why did you do that? He said, you sank the Titanic. There were Chinese ancestors were on that boat. and you sank the Titanic. And then Mr. Spielberg said, no, it wasn't me. It was a tip of iceberg. Tip of iceberg that sank the Titanic. Chinese said, iceberg, Spielberg, you guys are the same. Well, you guys are never the same as you walked. You say, a lot of times, you are like a chicken. When God made you an eagle, you live like a chicken. You're a chicken. Even though you love chicken rice, you are not chicken. But you act like chicken. You live like a chicken. There was a story about a chicken. There was a baby eagle lost all his parents, and he couldn't even fly. So he was just wandering around on the ground, and one farmer picked it up, said, huh, okay, you can't even fly, huh? So he took the farmer to his farm and then put it in the chicken box, I guess, you know. So all his life, he lived like a chicken. One day he was walking, you know how they scratch, you know? He saw something flying like this. He asked his friend, what's that? And his friend said, oh, that's an eagle. He said, wow, that looks good. And his friend said, don't you ever think about that? You are a chicken. And he said, yeah. And then later he died. The chicken died. He never knew that he was an eagle. Many of us are like that. We live as if that God made us like a chicken, not an eagle. You are not chicken. You are an eagle. This morning, I have 2 points. Number one is be available. Because God wants to use you. Be available. You see, let's read Ephesians 2:10. For we are creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So many of you are like, I don't understand. Yeah, basically, this is what's going on, okay? Now, what is this? Toaster. How many of you are computer whiz? You like computer? Anybody? When I ask who wants to get saved, nobody wants to get saved. How many of you say, try chicken? Nobody wants to do it. What do you want to do? What do you want me to do this morning? Any computer whiz? Anybody good at computer? Pastor Edwin, question. Why people don't burn CD here? Huh? Exactly right. Toaster was made to what? Burn to toast the bread, right? We don't put the CD. We don't put the CD to burn the CD. Like I remember many months ago, I had a mousse. I was in a hurry in the morning. Instead of toothpaste, I put a mousse. And go, yeah, mousse was for my hair, not for my tooth, right? You know the golf club? Golf club? You know golf club, you don't cut the grass, the lawn with a golf club. You know why? It was made to hit the ball, not to cut the grass. You see, what I'm trying to say is this. There got to be a reason. There got to be a purpose when God created. And the Bible says, here, let me go back. Okay, let me go back. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, okay, God created for us to do good works. And you have to remember that. It's not for just one person. It's not for Jasmine. It's for every one of you. Meaning that He wants to use you. Yeah. You know what? God doesn't look at the brightest, the smartest. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16 to 23 talks about God, you know, is not looking at somebody who graduated from good school because they have a pride. God is looking at humble servant, and God is looking for you. God wants you to be in the game. God doesn't need cheerleader. God doesn't want cheerleader. God wants you in the game. And He wants you to play in the game. You have to understand that this morning, God is looking for you, saying, I need you. I need you. I need you. Oh, pastor, I'm young. We have a lie thinking that we have to go to, we have to be a certain age that to make an impact. I have to be in certain age. Right now, I'm in school. Right now, I'm young. I can't do anything. No, that's not it. You know what? God wants to use you regardless of your age, regardless how many times you fail. It doesn't matter. God knows you. And when God uses you, He will work it through. God is not looking for abilities. God is looking for availabilities. God is looking for somebody who said, I don't have any talents, I don't have any gifts, I don't have this and that, but if you want to use me, yes. This is what Moses did. Let's read Exodus 3:4. And when the Lord saw that, He turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Everyone, when I said, Moses, Moses, you say, here I am. Moses, Moses, and Moses.
Here I am.
Here I am. Here I am. I don't like Singapore. No, I'm just kidding. You got to be active. You got to be really active, you know. I know Pastor Edwin has spent a lot of time preparing and praying, and Pastor Crocker and Heritage, because he knows the importance of changing the next generation. You know what? You guys are the hope. You guys are the next pillar of the church. You guys are the important people, you know? When the Lord called Moses, simply, he didn't say that, oh, is that you, God? Are you calling me? This is a Moses. He didn't say that. He simply said, here I am. Let's talk about Moses. I'm not going to ask you, you know, turn to Exodus chapter 2, Exodus 14. I'm not going to do that to save time. Basically, Moses was a bad. He killed the Egyptian. He was a running and he was hiding. He was like, you know, he was running away from people. And you know what? God, you wanted to use Moses. Ivan, where's Ivan? Here, Ivan. One of the most handsome guy in Singapore. Here, come here. Okay, let's do this. Let's pretend he's ugly, number one. Let's pretend he doesn't have a good family. Let's pretend that he has a broken heart. Let's pretend that he's just living a miserable life, right? He's messed up, okay? Messed up life. And then God comes to him and said, Ivan, I want to use you. Number one, you have to answer me. Is God crazy? Or number two, is God seeing something that we don't see in his life? Which one? Is God crazy or is God seeing something? Is God seeing a potential that we don't see in his life? Which one? Number two? Do you think number one or number two?
Number two.
Number two. It's not number one. Hey, God loves you. God loves you. God saw something that we couldn't see. What's your name?
Kamal.
Kamal? Kamal. Beautiful name, Common. People might say something negative about you, but God is like, Common, I see something that people don't see. I see amazing potential in your life. When God chose him, he sees something that we don't see, but he said, I see amazing things about you. When God sees Jasmine, well, like, Jasmine is a young girl. She can even run. She can even do this. Well, like, she's no, God making mistake. But when God says, Jasmine, I need you, that means that God is seeing something that we don't see. Remember Moses? He failed. He could not even say right. He was like, you got a king. You know, he was... I mean, I don't know why God chose. Peter was saying something without thinking. David even killed. David was a murderer, adulterer, and God said, "You are a man after my own heart." Doesn't matter how many times you fail. God sees amazing potential in your life that nobody sees. You know what? When God said, "I want to use you," when God said, "I need you," He sees something great in your life that nobody sees. And you have to believe that. Even though when you look at your life, "I don't think I can do anything. I don't have any talents. I don't have any abilities." That's when God says, "I need you because I see great things in your life." And guys, when you leave this place, that's what I want you to have. That God wants to use me, and God is using me. God wants, let God do His part, do your part. Your part is this: "Lord, if you want to use me, here I am, here I am, here I am, use me." God wants to use this morning. God wants to use this morning. Maybe in this place, you're going to have missionaries. Pastor Crocker shared with me spending 16 years in Korea, now 17 years in Singapore. I don't think he'd never imagine spending 17 years in Singapore, right? Maybe 5 or 6 and move on with another ministry, things like that, but 17 years. Maybe God wants to use you to minister people in Africa. Maybe people in Thailand. Maybe God wants to use you as a full-time ministry. You know what? If there is nobody who shared the gospel, how can people hear? How can people hear? You know, the good news is this. Good news is, you know what? Coke is a free. It's a good news. If you have an iPhone for $25, you will call anybody. "Hey, iPhone $25. It's good news. You have to share." And people listen. People hear iPhone is $25. There got to be a messenger with a message that people hear. And God wants to use you as His love letter. He wants to use you as a messenger. Whether you are qualified or not, it doesn't matter. God's qualification is not about your education. It's not about background. It's all about His grace saying, "I need you." And you have to say, "Here I am," and be available. Just like Moses said, "Here I am," and God called him. Do you want to be used by God? We talked about God, the Creator, God who designed the universe, the big God that we can never understand. That big God wants to use you. Isn't that amazing? It's not like somebody wants to use you. It's not like me want to get help from Jasmine. "Well, I need help." It's not like that. He is speaking to your heart right now. Said, "I need you." Do you think God needs you? I don't think God needs you. But He wants to use you to expand His kingdom. I know yesterday Brother Luke was sharing salvation. I don't think he was perfect at the beginning. But I think that he was messed up. Look at him, you know. He's kind of scary looking. But then God called him, and I think at some point he said, "Yeah, if you want to use me, here I am." And responded, right? And then here he is. We are not qualified to be God's messenger, but the grace of God says God still wants to use you. John chapter 6, where seeing a boy's lunch feeds 5,000 people. You see, I failed the first one, okay? I supposed to, you know, succeed, but I didn't, you know. Anyway, second one, I failed too. I cannot even do a miracle, but we see a miracle, okay? John chapter 6. So basically, here's the story, okay? Without looking at the Bible, many of you, you know, actually, you need to bring Bible because nowadays people don't bring Bible. If you don't have a bring Bible, just ask, you know, pastors, you know, see if you can get a Bible. But basically, John chapter 6 is this. Jesus is teaching $5,000 and it's lunchtime. They don't have a 7-Eleven at that time, do they? Oh, they do? No? Okay. Do they have a Chinese restaurant at that time? No? They don't have a Caesar, right? They don't have a KFC or they don't have anything, right? 5,000 people hungry. So all of you, pretend you're hungry right now so that Pastor Edwin's getting ready for lunch. Okay, 1, 2, 3, show me. Yeah! Pretend that you're hungry. All of you are hungry, okay? 1, 2, 3. There were 5,000 people, more than 5,000 people. They need food. But then they don't have any food. They don't have a 7-Eleven. They don't have a steakhouse. They don't have... do you have a Taco Bell here? Taco Bell? They have a Taco Bell? You do? But you have a Subway. Subway. What's your favorite fast food restaurant here? Huh? McDonald's? You like McDonald's? 6 Korean people went to McDonald's in the States. 4 people were able to stay, 2 people had to leave. You know why? They went to McDonald's, the employee said, 4 here, 2 go. So 2 Korean people, okay, they left. Now you appreciate my jokes. I got 1,000 more. Yeah, a Korean guy went to the restaurant and the employee said, super salad? Korean said, super salad? Sure, super salad. What size is that? Super? We want to share with my family. Well, the employee said, soup or salad? But he heard super salad. One last one. There was a senator, Korean senator in Washington State, and he had never learned English, but when he came to San Francisco, he went to a restaurant. He didn't know English. He didn't know what to order, but somebody next to the table ordered apple pie. So employee, the waiter came. He said, sir, what can I do? What do you want? He said, apple pie. They brought apple pie. Every day he ate apple pie. He got sick of apple pie. Next week he wanted to try something else, and he tried to hear what other people are ordering. There was a guy ordering turkey sandwich. So he said he want to try. The next week, the waiter came. He said, sir, you can have apple pie? He said, what? Turkey sandwich. Oh, okay, you want to try new stuff. You want a white bread or wheat bread? He said, oops, turkey sandwich. Well, employee said, sir, yeah, you want white bread or wheat bread? Turkey sandwich. Employee said, sir, you want white or wheat? He said, apple pie. So there were 5,000 people being hungry. And then some people were like, oh, how can we feed these people? And Jesus said, see if anyone had lunch. Well, there was a boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's a small bread. So let's do reenactment. Okay, let's make a drama. In the morning, a boy wakes up and then he said, oh, today Jesus is preaching. Mama, can I go see Jesus? Mama said, yeah, before sun goes down, you have to come back. Okay, bye-bye, Mama. Mama said, stop, boy. Why? Take a lunch. This is your lunch. Okay, thank you. That's his lunch. So he had his lunch and he was listening to Jesus Christ, and it was lunchtime and they needed something. And the disciples were looking, anybody have a lunch? You have a lunch? No, you don't have any. Oh man, Jesus, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And the boy said, this is all I got. This is everything I got. But if you need it, you can have it, you know? And I think disciples like, what? 2 fish? Oh, man. Okay. Here. Jesus, that boy right there, he gave to you. Jesus said, okay, everyone, we're going to pray. Lord, bless this food and make this food be a nourishment to our body. Thank you in Jesus' name. And then they were feeding the people with this 5,000, and there were 12 baskets left. Guess what? Jesus doesn't make a miracle by himself. Jesus always had involved with somebody, and that was a boy's lunch. Now, here's a point. The message is this. You don't have a lot of things, but when you give what you have, let God have all you have, saying, you know what? I don't have a lot of things. I'm young, but if you can have my life. When you give your life, that's when God makes a miracle. That's when God starts revival in this country. That's when God starts a revival in your church. You know what? A lot of times we're thinking, you know what? I got to grow up. I got to have this. I got to have a job in order for me to tithe, in order for me to give. No, that's not it. Jesus Christ using boy's lunch, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, a small thing to do a miracle. If that's the case, then if you give your life to God, you know what? You have no idea what God can do in your life. You have no idea how He's going to use your life to do His work. Simply believe that He wants to use you and be available. Let God have what you have. And that's the starting point of God's miracle. You think God doesn't need you? God wants you. God wants you. God needs you. I don't think He has a lot of money. Do you think He has $1 million Singapore dollars? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe not. He doesn't have a lot of. You think she has a lot of stuff? All I see is just the old-fashioned shirts and some old bags and tissues and maybe flip-flops from her mom, and that's about it, you know. But then God is saying, you know what? Doesn't matter. I see amazing potential in your life. Give me what you have, and I will use you. It's like this. She has a fake plastic. And she said, oh, I love this fake plastic. And God is saying, okay, give me, I'll give you a pearl. She said, no, I don't want to give you. God is saying, no, give me your plastic build, the plastic thing, you know, and I'll give you a real diamond, a real pearl. We're like, no, no, no. That's what we've been doing. This morning, because you're a Christian, God is calling you to be available. Here I am. And God wants to use you when you give your life to God. Here's what happened. There was a girl who wanted to go to Sunday school, but the class was so small. I mean, the classroom was so small that he couldn't get in. So he was going, and pastor walked by her and said, what's going on? She said, hey, the classroom is so small, I can't get in. Oh, you know what? We need to, you know, let's pray that God gives us bigger space so that we can have, you know, worship service with everyone. She said, okay. Well, a few months later, she died from a disease, and her parents found a purse with a 56 cents. And there was a note. I want to use this money to make bigger church building so that everyone can fit into a Sunday school room. Well, that news, that story got into a newspaper, and then a realtor offered a piece of land for 56 cents. And then a lot of people made donation, and that's how they were able to start the first class of Temple University and then move on with the big university and hospital because of 50 cents from a young lady. I'm not asking you to give 50 cents today. What I'm saying is this, 56 cents was all she has. It's a small money. It's like nothing, almost nothing. But when she gave 56 cents, that's when God worked through that 60 cents. So, here is my challenge to you. You know, He's looking for you today. That's the message. He is looking for you. He doesn't want you to be a cheerleader. He wants you to be in the game. He wants you to be active. Don't fall into a lie saying that I have to be unless 18 or 21, unless I have a job so that God use me. It's not like that. God's system doesn't work like that. God can use you wherever you are, whoever you are. It doesn't matter. He wants to use you. And when God uses you, all you have to say is, I'm available. Here I am. So here is the challenge. Here is the invitation.